And a pleasant good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to Fans of the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. Big show lined up for you all the way until 6 o'clock when it's kickoff with Boomer and Vellante. No Brian Kelly show this week. Then it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, and bring your parkas and your rain jackets and your umbrellas tonight. It is not going to be pretty. We'll be speaking with Andrew Lopez, Pelican sideline reporter for the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. We're going to have to maybe find an acronym for that, huh?
I'm going
to
say GCSEN.
We'll work on that. But glad to have him on board. Let's put it that way. As the Pelicans had their media day this week, and now they're at camp. And then Dannon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, color analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs radio. We'll talk to him about 5:20. Also in the show, we'll be speaking with Jay Romig, one of the most popular people at Saints camp, always has been, and they're getting ready for the Hall of Fame induction luction, and I just wanted to kind of get everybody up to speed with that. And it is a very not pretty Friday. We've had actually pretty good Fridays on tap, but for high school footballers, and I know the man across from me will be doing a game tonight, it will not be pleasant. But the games will be fun. It's just, you got to dress accordingly.
Put your mutters on and go.
Yeah.
Put your mutters on and go. I mean, hey.
You just don't have an excuse. You just go. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to hear it. No, I mean, if
you're right.
If you're able to play, go play. Go play. You only get so many opportunities. So you have to go and enjoy it as best as possible. And I don't want to hear, well, the ball was wet, or, you know, my glove. Take the glove off.
Come on, Dad, man.
Take the glove off.
Wet.
Yeah, take the glove off. Get the right shoes. Get your right footing. I don't want to hear no coach wants to hear an excuse.
Right. Is this one of those busy football weekends for you? Because you have the actual opportunity to go like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Very few people have that.
That's normally every week.
Right.
This week, no.
Because we travel.
That part. But I will miss a game on Monday. And as soon as we get back, we got a game. And so, this week the only reason not is because we travel.
Right. So the Saints had their injury report today. Nothing. It's the only difference is that the really first report came out yesterday, because they're a day. Just pretend like, so Wednesday was a walkthrough, and then just slide a day, right? Today is Friday. It's really the Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Right. If you can just do that in your head, you'll be much better, because they have tomorrow, and they travel on Sunday, and game on Monday night. So it feels like there's a lot of time, but there really isn't. So let's just discuss the DNPs who have been DNPs. Willie Gay, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz, Shane Lemieux, Peyton Turner. They were DMPs to start. They have not practiced. Would it be a surprise? Ankle, I'm just looking at the injuries. I mean, would it be a surprise if any of those guys played?
Well, you still have Friday. Tomorrow's the day.
Right.
So since today is Thursday.
So we're just going to do it like that? Tomorrow you still have Friday?
No, it's Friday is the final day. If they
tomorrow
haven't practiced, yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, which is Friday.
That's what I'm saying. I'll do it with whatever you want to do. We'll do tomorrow being Friday.
No, and so technically today's show should have been tomorrow's show, and it would have been all correct. But
you know,
since
I'm
you have
the plane
bonus,
now, man, for sure.
Since you have the, no, you won't. Since you have the bonus day, technically it's tomorrow's practice, and I expect maybe one of those guys to be a limited participant, and then that gives them the chance to be able to play on Monday.
So as Charlie said in his sports break, the newest one was the addition of Lucas Patrick with a groin today. He did not practice. He was not on the injury list. So if you just kind of go, all right, Lucas Patrick, Fuaga has a back and a knee. Now, he's been limited both days. But then you got Shane Lemieux, who was your center. Ruiz, I feel like one more week for him. But now you're talking about Lemieux, Fuaga, and Lucas Patrick.
And now it makes sense for the pickup that you had.
Yep, Connor.
Of Connor. McGovern,
yep.
Who basically, I think he was on the Jets practice squad. Now it makes sense. He's a player also that your offensive line coach has coached. So for him to be able to step in and whether it's guard, center, emergency center, whatever way, direction they go, it kind of helps in that sense, just because you have your other two guys that would probably play that position possibly not available.
So I guess put this into perspective for me. He's played. He was out of Missouri, and he, you know, with practice squad with the Jets. So he's
played with Dallas. He's played with Dallas as well.
It's Friday in our world. He just gets signed. How difficult is it for him to come in and not start, but just be help? How hard is that?
Since he's been with the coaches before, an offensive line wants to hear two or three words. Those two or three words may be a little different from him, from where he was before. But if it's gap scheme, it's gap scheme.
Right.
If it's zone scheme, it's zone scheme. Now, you may have a word or a color that makes it live for me, but a lot of that, I can give you that information. And so for him, now where you start getting a little tricky is even on some screen calls, hey, you know, this screen, look for this. This is what we probably will run. And even a center or a guard will go up to him and, hey, you know, once the play is called, the quarterback will go up to him and, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want you to look for. And then you break the huddle.
Watching the All-22 after the Atlanta game, and you have turned me into just an offensive line junkie because I've just, you know, I know how much you focus on it. It's just I just find myself, and I never probably watched that area as much as I should have, following the ball to begin with. But, watching Patrick at guard, tapping Shane Lemieux at center. I mean, all that was new. But it felt like, and Dennis said, it just felt like this O-line, given what it was up against, held their own.
Well, they held on because you've got to deal with crowd noise. Because if the quarterback can't get the ball, you can't even be in the shotgun. You can't even be in the shotgun. And so you got to deal with crowd noise. And that was why it made so much sense to have Shane Lemieux at center, because now I have a guy, Lucas Patrick, who has played left guard that can help him. If you go back and you remember, it was Cesar Ruiz who is the guy that helps and makes that snap call, looks at the quarterback. Now he knows the quarterback is ready. He's going to give the call to McCoy, whether it's on one, whether it's on two, whether it's a dummy snap, whether it's a dummy hitch. All of that goes into play. And so you can make it as simple as possible, or you can get really deep in the weeds with it. But at the end of the day, I want my guys to be able to play fast. And with crowd noise on the road, I don't need my tackles guessing, particularly when I have two young tackles already. So you don't want to go too deep in it, but you've got to be able to slow those defensive linemen down as well, you know, just with my head bob. I mean, there were two snaps, remember, that the ball got moved.
Right,
that
Ryan
that
Newsel
was called by Atlanta.
I saw the first one. I didn't see much on the
second
one.
Well, it doesn't take a lot.
Right.
It's just a rock in it.
Yeah.
And, or you re-spot it, and the refs will call that. And so a lot goes into it, but, I mean, there's some words, some letters I can give to Connor, and he practiced today, that you can give to him that'll help speed up the process. Because, like I said, toss, gap, trio, I'm going blank on some of the calls for your offensive linemen. Rip, Liz, Sally. I mean, you can go. It's Roger, Cat. I mean, you can go down the line, but I mean, a lot of it he can pick up just based off letters.
Got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the roster spot that the Saints created today as they signed Connor McGovern. We'll also talk Pelicans in a little bit with Andrew Lopez with the Pelicans, who are on and out of town for their preseason. This is Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, getting you ready for a Saints football weekend. That'll be a long weekend. Monday night in Kansas City against the 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs. We went to break talking about the new offensive lineman, Connor McGovern, who they signed. They released their sixth-round draft pick from last year, A.T. Perry, who had not been on the field this year. He was injured toward the end of camp, and then he was a healthy scratch, and it just has not worked out. So they didn't put him on IR. They just flat out released him today.
I can't say that it's surprising. I want A.T. to be very successful in this league, and I hope that he gets the opportunity to go and show what he can do in this league. But man, this is one of the toughest things when you're a young player. You got to treat it like a job. And so, not to say that he was late for meetings, or he was, to my knowledge, you know, there was no late for meetings. I think he's a good young man. I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he's a locker room issue or anything like that. It's just, I got to treat it like a job, because sometimes I think I can just go and play, and there's a little bit more that has to happen besides just going and play.
Because he's got a unique set, right? He's 6'5", 205, so he's a big cat. He caught a 58-yarder in preseason week one in Arizona, and only had 12 receptions last year, but four of them were for touchdowns. But it just, you know, got to be on the field, and so we'll have to wait and see. And we had talked about this during camp, if the Saints would keep five or six wide receivers, and they kept six, which is a lot, right? And he was one of them.
Well, but it's a lot because of the offense.
Right.
I mean, because this is not a team that's going to live in a lot of 11 or three receiver sets or four receiver sets. This team is probably going to be more 12, more 21. And that's just because of how the offense is built. And so you knew when they kept six, it's like, that's interesting. Because there may be situations or games. I think there's already been a game where they only dressed four,
right?
Four receivers.
Because he was one of them that was out.
And I'm just, you know, that normally doesn't happen in the NFL, and so hopefully it comes together for him. We'll just have to see what, you know, from an injury standpoint, from everything else, we'll just have to see what happens.
Won't spend a lot of time. Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I didn't watch all of it. I missed. I guess the I call them chip shots. Was it two that missed?
Young Wei Koo missed.
So he missed two field goals.
He missed it from, I think it was 49 at first. 49 at first, and so
a 40 and a 49.
And they had a penalty, so he moved up five. So I think it was 49-42.
We call them chip shots.
Heck yeah.
In the NFL.
He missed the first one, and I was in a public place, and I'm not going to get too deep, but I lost my blah. And then they move him up five, and he hooked it again.
Oh, wait. So he missed one field goal, or he missed two?
Back to back.
He kicked two field goals, yes. But only one counted.
Yeah, right. They were going to kick the first one. Huh?
Well, I know one was blocked. We knew one was blocked. I saw the block one.
Right.
But I missed the back-to-back kicks, I guess is what I'm saying.
Wasn't it a penalty, Charlie?
Yeah, and then it got moved up, and he missed the second one.
So he got moved up five. Like, he missed the first one, got moved up five. I'm like, you guys are playing with fire. Hey, I ain't never seen this cat miss two.
No.
Wasn't even close.
I was like, who is that guy?
Wow. Go find out who's in number six, because it's not young Wei Koo.
Because it was a 50-plus right there at the end of the game.
He nails
it. I told you, I mean, when we saw him kicking our eyes, it's like, man, Mike, I seen this guy kicking him from 60. There's no way that he's missing this little. And we both had said, well, he's never kicked one from beyond 54. Man, that ball would have made from 63, 64 yards.
All right, we got to take a break. But as we do, just because I want to answer, there's a texter. We cleared the space initially for A.T. Perry to get Davante Adams.
You say you're going to break, right?
Yeah, okay. We'll talk more. We're going to flip the tune a little bit. Going to talk a little Pelicans. We'll talk more about the same situation, of course, with Kansas City. We'll talk with Andrew Lopez. They are off and running. The Pelicans are back after this. Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Costas, McAllister. Don't forget, all of your Pelicans games can be heard right here this season. So we're looking forward to two seasons with the Saints and the Pelicans. The Pelicans off for training camp. They had a beautiful media day on Monday. Deuce was there with Newell, and Andrew Lopez is the Pelican sideline reporter for the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network, joins us now. Andrew, welcome to the show. Things got to be just, kind of eager to get things going.
Yeah, it's kind of funny being on this side of things. You get to a practice or two, and now all of a sudden I'm really Really can't wait for the regular season to start. I know we got some preseason games coming up here starting Monday, or Orlando Magic at 12:30 at the Smoothie King Center. But really can't wait to see how these guys look against another team after this week.
Andrew, what has it been like the first couple of days since you guys have been up in Nashville? And I know one of the not-so-good moments happened with Trey Murphy and the hamstring. But what has it been like so far?
It's been fun to see the guys kind of get away and really kind of get up and down. Had 2 days the first couple of nights. Had one practice yesterday. Guys were off today. Some of them, I'm sure, went and got a little bit of work in. But you see the energy. You see the emphasis that the team is putting on threes this season. It's been nice. They've been some drills that have kind of lent themselves to that. But it's nice to see these guys kind of get up and down, get back, you know, get into rhythm. But you can see how, you know, the team is going to play a little bit faster this year, get some more threes up on that side while still wreaking havoc on the defensive end. Daniel Tice told reporters yesterday, you know, he thinks top 10 is too low of a goal. He thinks his team needs to be top 5 on defense. I think that's a good goal to have.
When you look at this squad overall, I mean, obviously you feel like that you have some different pieces and how they fit, but just talk a little bit about a young guy, Jordan Hawkins, you know, and how over the preseason, or not over the summer, not necessarily preseason, probably played more point guard. And I don't know if that's really his natural spot, but at least, you know, maybe there's a role for him, a couple minutes a game for him to be able to do it. But we know one thing he can do, and that's shoot the cover off of it. And just talk a little bit about that and his growth for year two.
Yeah, he in the summer league, he had to kind of shift down, but that was more because of a couple of injuries that the summer league team had going into Vegas. So it kind of changed exactly how you wanted to do stuff. And you're right, that's kind of not his natural position. His natural position is shooting guard, because as you said, the one thing he can do is shoot that thing. And I think, well, I want to say it was Wednesday night's practice. It felt like he couldn't miss. It felt like everything he was putting up shot after shot, and he was on fire. And, you know, when he can get going like that, as we saw in the early part of last season, it's, you know, he could be a real contributor to this team. And, you know, as the team wants to get more threes up, you got to put guys on the court that can make them. And Jordan Hawkins certainly fits that mold.
Andrew, we kind of know I'll call him the first six, maybe first seven. But yeah. Has there been any indication that you'll see 9 guys, maybe 10 guys, you know, knock on wood if somebody's banged up or maybe on a back-to-back. But do we have any indication of what that rotation may look like, particularly with that second unit?
Not quite yet. We may get a good look at that on Monday. Obviously, without Trey Murphy, as you mentioned, who's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks because of the, you know, a slight hamstring strain that he suffered in one of the practices. So I think we'll get there. I think there's probably a good strong 7 if you include Trey. Probably 7, maybe 8 guys that could start any game, and you could feel comfortable with those guys. After that, you really have, when you look at maybe 8 through 14, 8 through 15, it's a bunch of guys who could, and maybe if you know, there may be some rotation-level guys who aren't getting on the court as much just because there's a lot of guys who could play in front of him. Now, obviously, you look at a guy like Jose Alvarado, who I think in that fifth practice, that Thursday practice, had maybe his best practice of training camp. You know, he's kind of stood out. Obviously, you know, you're going to probably have – you got to figure out the you know, who's going to get the backup 5 minutes. Is that going to be Carlo Makovic early? Is that going to be Misi early? That could kind of be a battle we see. I think Javonte Green is a guy who's going to come in and really compete for some minutes. And obviously you mentioned Hawk. So I think all of those guys are going to be, you know, fighting for time on that second unit, and we'll see how it goes.
So, Andrew, Mike Haas, and I apologize for the girth of this question, and this comes from a complete fan. I think Zion looks great, right? You know, I mean, I think he looks good, and, you know, he's one of those rare players that when he wants to score, he is going to drive to the bucket. And he might not score, but he's going to get hammered, he's going to get fouled, or he's going to score. But that just takes such a toll. When he got hurt last year, it was a drive and injured his hamstring. I'm just, again, from the outside of a fan, does he, because he's a good shooter, does he need a kind of a baby jumper, some shot that he can perfect so that he doesn't have to just get hammered so much going to the lane? Because, quite frankly, they don't call it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you mentioned he's going to get hacked, you're right, he is going to get hacked. It's just a matter of if they call it, because we've seen that a lot where he goes down and there is no call. And I think going back to last season, he played 70 games. He looked as healthy as he was up until the playing game when he suffered that against the Lakers, and it was just a tough injury. But I think that in itself has motivated him to say, hey, look, they do need a little bit. They're going to encourage him to get a little bit to get some more jumpers up. They're going to encourage him to get some mid-range shots in, maybe some floaters, not always try and just force his way to the rim, because but it's hard to tell a guy who averages 24 points a game, don't do what works for you. And that has worked for him, because he can get to that left hand whenever he wants. He can dunk it. He can lay it up off the glass. He's got so many different angles that he gets where he can get some spin on the ball. He is elite at what he does and finishing around the rim. But if that next step, that jumper is going to come. He's being encouraged to take it. And we'll see how it works out. But, you know, for now, it's hard to tell a guy who's getting 20, 25 a game to change it up. But I think we'll start to see it maybe just a little bit. We'll see how the early season goes.
Andrew, we know you guys have the game on Monday. So you guys will leave Nashville tomorrow night or Sunday morning?
Sunday. They're going to do practice Saturday, practice Sunday, leave after practice on Sunday.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Well, the only other question I have for you, are you getting any sleep yet? And how's my friend doing? And you know exactly who I'm talking about.
She is great. She's probably not getting as much sleep as I am. I am doing great. This is probably more sleep than I'll get in a while once I get back and deal with my 6-month pregnant wife, who is getting our house together, getting everything ready down there. She is doing great. And I'm sure she will be thrilled that you asked about her on the air.
Yeah, I mean,
First off, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, Andrew. He knew exactly who I was referring to.
I know that.
He knew exactly who I was referring to, and so I'm glad. Congratulations, man. I'm super proud for you. I'm amped for you guys, and I can't believe she let you go on the road like that, but that's a whole nother conversation off air.
Hey, I it's going to cost me when I get back, trust me.
Andrew, best of luck, man. It's going to be an interesting Monday. Orlando and the Pelicans early, and then the Saints in Kansas City late. So safe travels, and can't wait to talk to you when you get back.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Andrew Lopez, Pelican sideline reporter, back after this. This is Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, joined by Jay Romig with the New Orleans Saints in year 47. What year, Jay?
48, Michael.
Oh, my goodness. First off, we could have a discussion about your title, and you're going to give it to us, but basically you're Mr. Everything. If somebody needs something done, luggage, ticket, credential, whatever.
Operation of building.
Right. You are the man. What is your title?
It's senior administrative director director.
He makes it happen. That's right. Who he is. He's Jay Romig. If you have a question about the New Orleans Saints, call Jay. Jay, if he doesn't know the answer, hey, give me 1 second. Let me just look at this. And you probably still use a Rolodex, Jay. I mean, do you trust the phone? Do you trust the phone completely?
I have cards. I have a lot of cards.
Yeah, that's the Rolodex.
He's got the George Costanza wallet.
Yeah.
So we're talking October 17th. It's a big day. I mean, it's always a huge day every year. Saints Hall of Fame and the Saints Hall of Fame Gala now available. That's, you know, just Drew Brees going in for the luncheon on the 17th at the Hilton Riverside at 2 Poydras Street. Also Doug Moreau. Wow, the Joe Gemelli Florida Lee winner. I mean, those two people, just from a character standpoint, speak volumes for this organization. So it's coming up, right? I mean, everything's in order. What do you need? How can we be of service?
Well, it's the Thursday, as we know, of the Thursday night game against the Denver Broncos. It's going to be an exciting day. We've seen Drew a couple of times in the last couple of games, and he is excited. He's going to have his family here, and it'll be a big day. So he'll be inducted at lunchtime. At the luncheon, he'll give his induction speech, and then later that night at the game, once again, he'll be presented at halftime, and he'll be able to say a few words to the fans in the stadium. But the luncheon is, like I said, 12 noon at the Grand Ballroom of the Hilton Riverside, and tickets are available. They're $150 each, or you can buy a table of 10, or you can buy a single ticket or two tickets, but We do have tickets, and you can get on the Saints Hall of Fame website, saintshalloffame.com. And for more ticket information, you can go to our website. We have a link to the Saints Hall of Fame, or you can get on the Saints Hall of Fame website. And also, you can get the number you can call, 504-471-2192, for different information about tickets. But it's going to be an exciting day. Doug Morrow is fantastic. He's been the press box announcer for the 27 years at Superdome for the Saints. He's from a storied athletic family here in the area. He graduated from De La Salle. You know, his brother was the athletic director and baseball coach at Jesuit High School. He's been a longtime teacher at Christian Brothers, and he's a well-deserving award, you know, for the Joe Gemelli Fleur-de-Lis Award. And, of course, Drew's the first unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame that we've ever had. So that's, you know, that, which is a no-brainer. But so it's going to be exciting for that day for Drew.
And you talked a little bit about the event, but, I mean, there'll be silent auctions and some other things that people can, when you go online, you can look and see some of the stuff that'll be available as well, correct?
There'll be a few. There won't be that many things, Deuce, at this event, because we have later in the year, we have our gala, which is the weekend of the, it's in November 16th, Saturday, November 16th. And that's the night before the, I believe it's the Cleveland, let's see, I think it's the Cleveland Browns.
That'd be Jari Evans going in, right?
Jari Evans is going in the Ring of Honor right. That night.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Jari's already in the Hall of Fame. Jari is a candidate again for the Professional Football Hall of Fame this year, which he fell a little bit short last year, and we hope it's this year. I kind of was joking with him the other day when, you know, we have the offensive line problems, you know, with the injuries right now. We're trying to work through that. I said, Jari, if you come back out of retirement and to play on the offensive line this year, and you lead us to the Super Bowl, that'll be two Super Bowl wins. You will definitely get in the Hall of Fame and Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he kind of smiles and says, "I can't do it, Jay. I wish I could." But he's great. And that day he'll go into the Ring of Honor. So at the stadium. So that's going to be fantastic. But that event will be a big time Deuce. Different things to bid on and to auction items, and 20 restaurants catered by 20 different restaurants. That's at the Chateau Country Club. And we can talk about more about that down the line as it gets closer to that game. But there will be a couple items available for auction items at this event. But the big thing is to hear Drew speak, to hear Doug speak. Mrs. Benson will speak. They'll have presenters. They'll have a presenter present each one. We're still waiting. Drew hasn't told us who his presenter will be, but we're looking forward to that. And Doug, I think Doug has. I'm not sure who his presenter is too, but it'll be a great luncheon. Food will be great, and it'll be a fun day. And then later that night, of course, the game against the Broncos.
Yeah. So they can just Hall of Fame. Go to the Hall of Fame website. They can get all the information about tickets.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the Hall of Fame.com, or call the 504-471-2192. We do have some tables and tickets available still, but we'd love, you know, to try to fill it up as much as we can.
All right, my friend. Anything that you need, you just give us a call. We appreciate that. And, you know, we'll talk to you as we head our way to Kansas City on Monday night. But thanks for your time. Yep. Jay Romer.
Thank you, guys, very much.
The director of everything. That should be his card. Just director of everything. VP, executive director of everything. Just the best. And Derek and all those guys in that part of the organization. The news is next. Fans in a Pro will continue after this.